Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, we take a bunch of listener calls about psychology and get in some really interesting territory. I think you guys will find it uplifting and enlightening. So listen up and share it. First, I'll tell you about NetSuite. Hey, it's Adam Carolla from the Adam Carolla Show. If you're a business owner, you don't need me telling you that running a business is tough, but let's not make it harder than necessary. Don't let QuickBooks and spreadsheets slow you down. Upgrade to NetSuite. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the info you need when you need it. Ditch the spreadsheets and the old software. Upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more, all in one place instantaneously. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in revenue, save time, save money with NetSuite. Join the over 22,000 companies using NetSuite right now. Let NetSuite show you the benefits of their business system. Take their free product tour at netsuite.com/Adam. Right, Dawson?
Join the over 22,000 companies using NetSuite right now. Let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/Adam. Schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/Adam. netsuite.com/Adam. Real men are an endangered species, shouted down and hunted. But Adam knows you're out there, alone in a sea of cowards. That's why he built a place for you rare breeds to come together. That's why he created Renaissance Man. At RenManUSA.com, you'll find your one-stop shop for all the products that Adam and real men like yourselves actually want. Things for the outdoorsman, the drinker, the driver, and yes, the lover. Renaissance Man is where Carolla fans go to find carefully curated gifts, vacation packages, and articles on things that are actually interesting, not blogs about which statues should go next. It's a calling card, a place for those who understand that the noblest pleasure in life is living it well. Head to RenManUSA.com for yourself or the man in your life, and get ready because this Christmas, Adam Carolla brings you Renaissance Man. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Stephen Dorff, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and we'll play a round of Sling It Forward. And now, he doesn't think dead people voted, but if his dad cast a ballot, that's pretty damn close. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on your mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Hey, hey, hey.
Funny, I just wrote down moments before Dawson spoke. I wrote down the word dad on this pad because we're going to get in some psychological calls today. And I'll explain more about that in a couple of few. We have Max Pata dug up some more 1780s guy.
Sweet.
They're so bite-sized, and you never really know which direction they're going. We have Oprah, No Child Left Behind, and Gay in the Military. Oh. Those are our subjects for 1780s guy. So, in any particular order, Max Zapata. And where we put these up, on the YouTube page?
Yeah, they're on YouTube. We'll put them up on our Instagram, too, if you follow Instagram.com/Adam Carolla.
All right, so the first one is, well, here it is.
And now, Adam explains to 1780s guy, Oprah.
So this Nubian sorceress now rules over this country? Can no man stop her?
Well, no.
That was Adam Explains Oprah to 1780s guy.
And so that was Oprah. I think we did two Oprahs.
Yeah, we played another one.
We played
before.
The other
one.
It was
about
Oprah.
Breeding her or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. That was the other one.
And this is No Child Left Behind.
And now, Adam explains to 1780s guy, No Child Left Behind.
Even the imbeciles?
Well, they...
That was Adam Explains No Child Left Behind to 1780s guy.
And last but not least, I think we have Gay. That guy was a great actor, right?
We asked such cutting follow-up questions.
We have, well, remember the joke is I can do no explaining. And then Gay's in the military.
And now, Adam explains to 1780s guy, Gay's in the military.
Falls down.
That was Adam explains Gay's in the military to 1780s guy.
Yeah, we got to bring that. We got to bring that back. I think I'm doing some more Slippery Slope Guy because people seem to like that. And
It's time.
And, you know, they're 35 seconds. I told Sonny to start writing down some ideas. All right. So Phil, my dog Phil, had to go to the vet and stay the night in the vet last night.
Oh, God, how many socks did he eat?
I don't know what he ate, but there is a combination of... It was a combination between kids, Grubhub, Phil, and Phil's range. You know, when Phil gets back up on his haunches, he can get to stuff about 4 foot off the ground. And I think got hold of some pizza or something like that. So he did that. Also, I gave him, remember I told you I got that really crappy calamari?
Yeah.
You know how I don't like to throw things away?
Correct.
Well, that's dog food, man.
Yeah, so Phil got a little calamari as well, but I think that was just resulted in a little diarrhea. But either way, Phil's back. He's got a shaved IV paw thing.
Oh.
And he's just moping around.
God, I hope he's hydrated.
Yes.
He should hydrate him.
All right, so I don't know. I think it was a couple of weeks ago we were taking some calls and maybe we're doing Mr. Brightside or something, but we took a turn for the psychological. And it's always something, Ravi Patel was talking to me about. People seem to like the psychological stuff, and I do as well. And I realize that in terms of things you get from your parents or things, abilities, or what have yous that may be passed down, an interest and an ability in psychology is something that was always passed down to me by my dad. Now, my dad didn't really practice what he preached at home, but he still liked. You know, he would be a good contractor with the shittiest house on the block. You know what I mean? But he'd still be good to come into your home and do stuff. Oh, I think Gina and Bald seized up, or at least Gina. I know Gina seized up because her eyelids are shut. Bald's maybe seized as well.
Yeah, we may have to restart something here.
So we'll see about, can I keep going? I'll take a call.
Hopefully. I mean, if our internet goes down, sometimes it takes.
Well, let me
see.
Bill 40, Sacramento.
Hi guys.
Hi guy.
yes, I saw you guys wanted to talk about psychology. So I have my MFT. I'm not licensed, but I was I got my master's degree in that. So
hello?
I actually worked as a therapist for a little bit while I was in grad school.
Hold on a second, Bill. Brian and Gene are back. We're talking to Bill with his master's in psychology from Sacramento, age 40.
Got it.
Bill, sorry.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had some comments about it. I mean, I like psychology too, but I do feel that, like, there's an overemphasis on therapy, should we say. I think there's, like, people think, oh, you hear this a lot. Oh, just go to therapy and you'll fix things. And it's kind of like, Well, some of my experiences, when I was working as a therapist, it would be a lot of like, it was free therapy, by the way, and it was like court ordered stuff. So people are there just trying to fill out some type of form or something.
First things first, you should have a little skin in the game. If you're going to therapy, you should be paying for all of it or some of it or something. The free stuff, it just, people don't utilize it. They don't appreciate it. I always use the example of a premiere to a free movie. It starts slowing down about 40 minutes in, you just leave because you didn't buy the ticket. You didn't make the effort. So that's number one. Number two, as far as therapist goes, a therapist is kind of like, in a weird way, it's kind of like having a personal trainer, except for you don't really need to work out when you're with the personal trainer. And the thing about the personal trainer is you can't just show up for your session on Thursdays and Saturdays for an hour and sit there and kind of grab a 5-pound weight and a donut and do nothing. But there's a version of that with therapists. Like, you can sit there and kind of do nothing. You can lie to them. You can not work on things you want to work on. Mm-hmm. I mean, a good therapist, and also there's a lot of bad therapists, but a good therapist will help you not get away with that, but it's not cut and dried. Like I said, you go to a trainer and you kind of do nothing. Your trainer's going to go, what the fuck? You got to do something. It's so easily quantifiable. You know, there's a version of going to a therapist where you just kind of sit there and do nothing. And then you check the box. You go, I'm going to a therapist.
Yep.
And you don't,
feels good.
You don't get anything done. Yeah. Feels good in that you get to tell your spouse or your neighbor or whoever, hey, I'm in therapy. But there's a very lazy version of therapy. I think anyone who's gone to a therapist has had those sessions where you sort of sat there and you didn't really talk about that much. And you're just like, oh, fuck it. Like, I don't want to cry. We're just gonna gloss over.
And like you said about having skin in the game, a lot of times when you're going just to sort of stonewall and run out the clock, it's to get somebody else off your back, whether it's the county or your wife.
Yeah. So you seeing people who were ordered by the courts to see you, that seems like it was doomed to fail, you know, on the launch, on the launch pad. You know, and the other part about it is, and to your comment that there's, you know, too many people are using it as a crutch or whatever it is. Yeah, I think, you know, much like the physical therapist, you have to do it when you're in front of them, and then you have to have your homework. Like, you absolutely have to go back home, and you got to diet, and you got to do your push-ups, and you got to do whatever that thing you need to do. Because if you think about the therapist, I don't know how many hours are there in a week. It's four times 20, like 150 hours in a week or something, somewhere in that neighborhood.
168.
All right. So if you're going for an hour a week and there's 168 hours in a week, then you got 167 hours to work on that shit. And if you're not going to do any of that, then that's a very small percentage that you're actually doing it. Gina, you're nodding.
Yeah, that's so funny. That just reminded me of Amy Schumer had like her personal trainer on or something at some point in her podcast. And he said like the most important, you know, trick thing that I do to Amy and to tell Amy is walk everywhere, walk early, walk often, walk all the time. Why? Because if we're meeting once or twice a week, that's 2 hours.
Right.
So what are you doing? Like you said, what are you doing with 164 more hours of your week? You've got to be walking. And that's the same thing with therapy.
Agreed. So, Bill.
Yeah.
So what are you doing now with your master's in psychology?
I'm a contractor now, so I gave it up. I got in. So that was part of the when I got into it. I'm doing, and this was part of the program. I'm doing therapy and I could just tell, like, I didn't help one person at all. And, but then, you know, it was just kind of personal choices. I went out and I wanted to kind of actually make money and everything. So, I just saw a much longer road down there to get what I did in my life.
Well, you know, Bill, I think you can still use these skills in the contracting world because, you know, when the homeowner, like when the woman is like, I said crown molding, not cove molding, did you? Or is that your mother speaking? Huh?
You have to disarm her. I would be upset, too, if I got the wrong crown molding.
You have every right to feel upset about having crown versus cove. But, you know, your mother was a big crown fan. And I know you have feelings about her. I know she's been in the ground for several years, but you're trying to live vicariously through her with your cove molding. So, Bill, what kind of contracting do you do?
Well, we started a, like, when the banks hit in 2008, we started a, like, a bank rehab business. And then that fostered into some like developments and stuff like that.
So you're doing are you flipping places?
Well, no. So originally we were hired by the banks to contract out to fix the places up for bank owned stuff, and then we formed other businesses, and then we built apartment complexes and houses and things like that. Developers and contractors.
How do you guys? Two questions. A, how do you account for this huge chasm between members of our society who are very interested in the psychological dynamic and those who have seemingly no interest in any of it, what makes them tick, their wife tick, their husband tick, any of it? And then who's happier? Because I'm starting to think that, you know, look, the happiest person in my house is Phil. I mean, sure, he had a rough patch last night, but I mean, Phil's happy. Phil's happy. He knows nothing of psychology. He's all in. You know what I'm saying? He wakes up every morning. Every morning, Sonny opens his door about 7:30 in the morning, and I'm always kind of surprised. And Phil comes chugging down the hall with his tail wagging. It's like he's never seen you before. You know, this is it's a brand new day every day. And then we all know people that are, you know, deep into with their analyst, and they're seeing them 3 days a week, and but maybe that becomes a form of narcissism where it's just so much about you. You're thinking so much about you all the time that you sit in front of someone 3 times a week and just discuss you.
You're up in your own head, at least.
Yes.
The only counterpoint to that I can think of is if somebody had no interest in psychology and just walked around the world going, nothing ever goes my way and everyone's against me and it's everybody else. Well, because they lack the self-awareness that therapy might bring them, that it's not everybody else. Mm-hmm. Right. But otherwise, I'll switch places with Phil any day.
Yeah.
That's funny because that reminds me of one of my favorite Simpsons episodes. Now, it sounds silly, but there's some truth there. The only episode to ever be cry, by the way. The one where Homer has the crayon extracted from his nose and he becomes a genius.
Right.
And like he becomes miserable the more he knows, like the more he understands about the world. And he has the crayon reinserted so he become a dummy again. Kind of like Flowers for Algernon, basically, kind of take off on that. Like, the more he knows, the more miserable he is.
Well,
Maggie's first word didn't make you cry?
What'd she say, Homer?
Daddy.
Homer was the one. Oh, yeah, she said daddy. Fun fact, Liz Taylor voiced Maggie.
Well, obviously, you think about how miserable the people are, you know, the Greta Thunbergs and everything of the world who are just feeling the weight of, you know, if you think about, I guess here's an interesting thought. If you go too far in with your thinking and it's all about you and it's all about therapy and it's all about your problems, it's all about what you need to fix, then you're going to be miserable. If you go too macro and you're just totally into global warming and what's going on in Sudan and the indigenous people, that's a form of misery as well. I think there's some sort of intermediate sort of balance of thinking about yourself X amount, thinking about the globe X amount, thinking about your family X amount. Yes.
You know what a good example of that is from your own mouth are people who you say like certain protesters or Antifa or whatever all have daddy issues.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, problems with authority. Well, that might be a good time to hang out for a hot second and look inward.
Well, it kind of makes sense if you think about the American family and you think about the kind of erosion of the American family and you think about, you know, absentee dads, you're going to have a large populace of people who have dad issues. And when you have when you have dad issues, then the man becomes dad and then you lash out against the man. So it could be the president, could be anyone wearing a badge. It could be any
figure.
Yes. Anyone in charge, an authority figure. Right. So there's going to be more and more lashing out against the authority figures. Paige, 33, Chicago, had bad anxiety and depression. And then what, Paige?
And then I started a gratitude journal, and it has changed my life.
And how does that work, the gratitude journal?
So whenever I have a day that I notice that anxiety might be creeping up on me, I keep a gratitude journal in my nightstand next to my bed, and I just start writing down all these things that I'm grateful for. It could be something really stupid, like, I'm so happy and grateful that my coffee machine works today. Mm-hmm. But it makes you pick out the littlest things in your life that can bring happiness to you. Instead of just thinking about how shitty the world is right now and complaining about everything. And it turned my life around.
Well, you know, it made me think, and interestingly enough, focusing on the one stupid thing, like your coffee machine, right? So when I've always told you guys, if you want to balance, or like you want to ride a unicycle or something like that, or you want to stand on a yoga ball. If you want to stand on a yoga ball, the only way to stand on a yoga ball, you know, it's the only way I can stand on it, and I imagine everyone is this way, you must pick a spot on the wall. You have to pick something, and you have to stare at that something solely, and you have to focus all of your concentration on a spot, and then you can get up on the yoga ball. Mm-hmm. If somebody waved their hand in front of that thing you're staring at, you will fall off. If you look around, you will fall off. So it's like you pick this spot, you focus on it, and you find your balance. And in a weird way, the coffee machine is sort of that way. Like you're mm-hmm. feeling anxious or you're out of control or whatever, and then all of a sudden you just suck it in to this coffee machine or whatever you feel grateful for. It could be anything. And then you find your balance. Does that kind of make sense?
Absolutely. Yes. I agree 100%.
I do also, speaking of balance, I've been kind of guilty of it lately because I haven't been up on the double-sided board or whatever it is. But physically do physical balance things. Balance. Get on mm-hmm. stuff. Get your balance. They talk about, you know, you talk about getting on one of those boards call I always write,
the balance boards, Indo boards.
Indo boards. Yeah, you get on one of those. If you think about getting on
one of
those.
It's like a skateboard with a roll in the middle, right?
With a cylinder in the middle of it, right. Think about the definition of that. So they always say walking is good because it's right, left, kind of hemisphere, like gets your right side, then your left side. So walking almost always makes you feel better, but if you get on that Indo board, then the entire premise of that board is right, left, right, left, right, left. Right. There's no right, right, right. If you go right twice, you fall off. You go left twice, you fall off. It's a constant shifting. And so you just stand there and you pick that spot on the wall and you stare at that spot on the wall. And meanwhile, your body just goes into this back and this forth right, left hemisphere. And, do that 5 minutes a day, and it definitely evens you out. Hey, Paige, good on you for not getting a bunch of drugs prescribed or, you know.
I wouldn't let myself. The doctor was so quick to write me a prescription, and I said, no, I need to figure this out for myself. And I want to say one more thing. Since I really started focusing on this year, I can honestly say I have not had a bad day all year because I won't allow myself to.
Yeah.
I give myself a little like 5 minute, 10 minute break to have a bad moment and get over it. And then I'm on to the next thing.
The thing about the drugs is obviously it's masking something. It's not curing something or getting something to go away. But also, I don't know, you have to know. I mean, you do know you're on drugs. Like, you know, every morning or evening or twice a day or whenever, when you take that pill, the act of taking that pill is you saying something's wrong with me.
Right. Like, well, that's the same as taking a pill for a physical problem.
Yeah, but
it's also a physical problem if you're not getting the amount of norepinephrine that somebody else gets. I mean, just to cover all our bases.
Yeah, I'm saying like a physical problem. I would say, you know, if somebody had, I don't know, irritable bowel or something going on, I would say, well, let's change the diet. Let's start exercising. Let's start doing yoga or meditation or something. And then if that shit doesn't work, pardon the pun.
Then if you're still shitting your pants,
right, then
we'll come back to it.
Then we can talk about getting you on something, which is obviously a real issue. But, I mean, someone like Paige, it was too quick. They wanted to give her stuff. She did it with a journal. Yes, Brian.
I was saying, speaking of, Paige reminded me of something. By the way, I love the gratitude journal. Christy does a version of that. That's great. Good for you, Paige. It reminded me, she mentioned the coffee maker, and I'm sitting next to my Keurig, and there's something awesome about looking at the world. Every once in a while, if you can manage to do it or remind yourself to do it, looking at the world through a child's eyes or like new eyes, like the Keurig is amazing. Like, you put a pod of coffee in there, press a button, and it makes a perfect cup of coffee. Like, imagine what a pain in the ass coffee was 20, 100 years ago. And here we are like, oh, I got a pod of coffee and I can make myself a perfect cup. Like, we don't take enough time, I don't think, and I try to do it, but it's hard because it's just the things in your life that are there every day, every moment, you take for granted for good reason. They're there every day, every moment. But you got to remind yourself to recognize the amazingness in simple things.
Oh, agreed. As I've said, and it's on my mind because I had a couple of people just recently. I had the CHP did some sort of auction, and they auctioned off a tour of my car warehouse. And then Paulette Gergas actually hit me up the other day, wanted to know if she could. I actually had three people say, can I take a tour of your warehouse? And you guys know the story. They always go, oh, please, or thanks, or I know it's a hassle. And I always go, no, it's my favorite day. Because instead of just walking past everything or finding the problem or wanting to know what the fuck's going on, it's just people just going, this is so cool. Could you imagine working here or whatever? You get to come here every day. And I always end up going, yeah.
Whether it's a Keurig or several multi-million-dollar cars, take the time to appreciate.
Take the time. Yeah, or put the Keurig in the car really double down. Yeah, it's a little bit of the version I always tell people of throw a party once a year so you'll clean your house. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It forces you to hang the pictures that have been leaning against the wall and wipe the stuff down. But yeah, gratitude is everything, and it's so easy to skim past it and to blast right on to the next problem. Because, you know, we are kind of like, you know, you think about how a cat is wired. You know, a cat's always kind of looking for movement, you know, like, oh, what's that over there? What's going
danger.
On? Danger. Danger and movement. And you think about us, we're kind of that way with problems. You know, we're sort of head on a swivel, like what's broken, what's fucked up, what needs to be fixed. We're not really in appreciation mode. We're in
the royal we, Mr. Hypervigilance.
I'm that. That's how I am. I'm always into like what's broken and what needs to be fixed.
The brain is a problem solving organ, right? That's why you can't go to sleep sometimes when you're trying to fall asleep and all these problems rush into your head.
Yeah. So I'm too. Christy's gratitude. Log, how does that work? I would be way too lazy for that.
It's kind of morphed into kind of a Tessa memory. Like once Tessa started to become sentient, you know what I mean? It was all about her. So she writes down, and I'm really glad she does, because now she has a fucking book full of handwritten notes about the things Tessa said, or today she did this for the first time, or, you know, the silly stuff. We're not going to, you know, celebrate it, but it's nice just to have it down to remember. Oh, yeah. But,
yeah.
May of last year was the first time she did so-and-so, and we're grateful for it. And Christy will flip through every once in a while. Remember when she did this? I'm like, yeah, I do. Thank you for writing that down.
Yeah. Well,
You can start now.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. We had some of that stuff for our kids, and at some point you just run out of steam and you go, fuck it.
Sure.
But you also realize they are so well, so well detailed, so well captured. I mean, Sonny has 15 buttons with his picture on it. What? Remember, it was a big deal to get your face on a button, like holding a baseball bat, you know, in your baseball uniform. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just all that shit.
You're an outlier in this, but Gina, how many pictures existed of your 6th birthday? For me, it was like probably 6 or 7 or 5.
No idea.
I mean? Like there are a few pictures. Nowadays, it's almost captured start to finish.
Whatever my dad could carry on his back, and by that I mean the entire VCR and film, and those, and who knows where those are.
I'd like to see your hair. the thing that's funny, it always reminded me of when Brian was talking about the Keurig and what a hassle. That was always the Corolla thing when we had dinner over at my grandparents' house, when my grandmother would go, does anyone want coffee? And then everyone would sit there going, well, it's a lot of work. You know what I mean? And then her.
Yes.
I know that's one of the downtrodden, gears or abilities or whatever you have to have is. And so anyone listening, please think about this. You know, the people that turn next to nothing into a fucking like they're having to build the Louvre or something. Yes. Like it's a nothing. It's
I don't
want to
go through the hassle.
Right. Fuck. And so it's like, so my grandma would always go, who wants coffee? And then my stepdad would like sheepishly raise his hand. And then my grandmother would go, well, if John's the only one, I'm not going to make coffee, but we can do instant coffee. And again, the instant coffee to me is up there with loading and unloading the dishwasher. The shit's in the sink. The hot water's running. You got the sponge out.
Just do two more laps
on that plate and put it on the dryer. Let it air dry on the rack. You're there. Like, you're right there. Now we're going to go. The freeze dried, you know, taster's choice with flavor crystals or whatever. she would have to dig that shit out of the freezer. Then it was always spot welded to the jar. So now you got to fucking take a pick and go at it, because you don't just scoop it out. You had to bang off. You had to knock off some shale. You know, you had to whack it with a fork 8 times. Then she'd get this freezer burn fucking offering together. And then she'd have to boil a kettle of water on the sink. She had to put a pot of water, on the stove and boil it, which always took longer. And then she'd put it into the cup. And then she'd pour it in a cup. Then she'd stir it up. But it was just, it looked like the La Brea Tar Pits. Like the top just had chunks floating on it. Like it never fully got dissolved. There'd be some McDonald's wrappers and trash in there on the top of the mug. And then she'd hand it, and it sucked. So now it took every bit as long as making coffee, but it sucked. The other thing I remember from when my grandparents would go out of town, I would feverishly dig through the freezer and at some point inevitably find a coffee cake that had been frozen for 11 years in there. But I could bring it back to life. Like that was still, it was like sweets for free. All right, let's talk to Bernie. Bernie, Riverside, 21.
Hi.
Hi, guy. Uh-oh. Hey, have I talked to you before?
Yeah.
Did we talk about your smoke detector?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Smoke Bernie.
It's been replaced.
Yeah, we had the thing. Yeah, because the chime was chirping. you wanted to replace it, and your mom said she didn't want to spring for a 9-volt battery.
Yeah.
Was that your story?
Yeah.
All right. Listen, everyone, don't tell me what you said and then what I said. I have people all day going, you said. This call's 3 years old, right?
Yeah.
All right. I remember the story. You were also part of a school group for like young lesbians, right?
Yeah.
Okay. No, Adam, you said blah, blah, blah. And then I said blah, blah. By the way, that's 2 days old. People try to pull that shit on me when I'm in the room with them. All right. Sorry, young Bernie. So how's the Young Dykes of America going? Or what? How's the group going?
That's what it's called.
I think it was.
It's Tyke Dykes.
Tyke Dykes.
I'm no longer a part of it, unfortunately. Oh. It cut into my school schedule, and I had to drop it, unfortunately.
You always make time for breakfast and lesbians. Those are the two things my grandmother told me. I'm also having a recollection about your hair being an odd color, like blue or pink or something.
I don't think I ever brought that up, but it is.
What are you? So are we doing the psychic hour?
You do have blue.
And Bernie, if I can get in on the fun, it wasn't it because you're bi and you were afraid to tell your mom, right?
No, she knew, but she didn't like me being a part of the club.
Right. Okay.
So do you have blue hair?
Right now I have half pink, half black hair.
Oh, okay.
It's split down the middle.
Conservative, Adam. She's in the job market.
I had some recollection of hair, but maybe it was an outfit you were making or something like that. I seem to recall you making an outfit.
I make cosplays. I do costumes for conventions and stuff.
But Adam, you said noon. You didn't say 1 o'clock. Jesus fucking Christ. Oh, all right, Bernie. I know way too fucking much about you.
Tell us more.
Why don't you tell me about me? What do you recall from me from our conversation from 3 years ago?
I remember you called my mom a bitch because she didn't want to change the smoke detector.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She probably thought that battery was going in a vibrator now that I think about it. But, what else?
God, I don't remember. It's so strange that you remember this much about me and I can't remember anything.
Well, if I had read it about you, I would have no recollection of it. Because it was verbalized, because you told me, then I have because I heard it. That's why I have a recollection of it. All right, Bernie. So what's going on with you right now?
Well, I have some experiences with psychological problems. I've been hospitalized about 7 times now since I was 13.
For suicide attempts?
Annually?
Not annually. I have one suicide attempt, a real suicide attempt, where I did actually try with the noose. But the rest were kind of suicidal ideation, where I told my therapist, like, hey, I'm not feeling, super good about life right now. I might go home and, But she said, okay, well, let's send you somewhere where you can sort of chill out for a couple of days until you feel better. And then you can get like medication, but it's like reworking your medication or talking to someone about, what's going on in your life.
Well,
so it doesn't feel super stressed out.
Let's talk about you for a second. By the way, I've had that. I mean, I didn't tell my therapist I'm thinking about killing myself, but I have had several therapists announce they were thinking about killing themselves after I was complaining about my dad for 40 minutes. So here's an interesting thought that nobody will embrace in this new woke culture we're living in. But the older I get, the more I realize there's a kind of act as if, you know what I mean? There's a don't have two-tone hair. You know what I mean? Try not to identify yourself as troubled or broken or, haunted or misunderstood. Like what about a little acting as if, what about, we, we get that hair to be the same color on the right hemisphere as we do on the left hemisphere. And all the stuff you're doing, which is kind of, you know, a form of acting out and kind of an identification thing. What about being boring? What about getting a job? What about having the same color hair? What about it?
In all honesty, the reason I dyed my hair half pink, half black was because of a comic book character. Like, it wasn't really acting out. I was like, oh, I really like Harley Quinn. Maybe I should dye my hair like her.
Right. But I like LeBron James, but you don't see me
with the Amish beard.
That's Kimmel's territory. But what I'm saying is
I like Michael Jordan.
Yeah, there's stuff you like, but that doesn't mean you have to become that thing. You know, you got the cosplay stuff. Like, how about a little more you and a little less Harley Quinn and cosplay stuff? And you know what I'm saying, Bernie?
I get it, but I don't know. That's never really been. It's not really me. I mean, I like my hair the way it looks because of Harley Quinn. I like making costumes and going to conventions and talking to dudes who are, you know, dressed like Batman.
Don't you guys think or worry that some people, much like I don't like the idea of sitting around and playing a video game for too many hours a day because you were just become this thing. You're not, this isn't your life. This is a synthesized digital life that you've entered. You know, like I see all these commercials for like Star Wars goggles and stuff, and you put the goggles on, all of a sudden you're at the bar and Star Wars and stuff. And I thought, A, no thank you. B, that's what booze is for. Mm-hmm. And, but C, it's like, what are you saying about your life when you want to enter another make-believe world constantly?
Says the guy who surrounded himself with Paul Newman cars.
I got to look at Chris so we can remember to make fun of you about that after this. All right. Yes. Thank you, Ryan. That has nothing to do with this.
We made that joke in the past about the video games or the cards, but she's doing something tactile. She's making costumes. She's going out and socializing. You know what I mean? It's not stuck in your bedroom playing the video game. That's at least this is – there's some social outlet there, a creative outlet.
I like it, but there's two things. I'll pass it. I'll just pass – I can pass everything through this filter. Would you want your daughter getting into this? And if not, why not?
Probably not. I don't know. I feel like there's a, I don't know, Bernie, do you, depending on the people you hang out with or not, like, is this something you made fun of for or teased, not made fun of, teased about, or is there some sort of like bullying going on? Like that's the main reason I probably wouldn't want Tessa to get in on it, just because it's, I don't know, it feels like ripe for bullying.
See,
honestly, no. No, because I remember high school during, there was some like costume week that we did for high school, and I went dressed as 11 from Stranger Things. I had the dress and the blonde wig, and it was mostly people coming up to me like, hey, like, where'd you get this? And I'm like, no, I made it.
But see, to me, it smacks of something a little deeper. It's not just the potential of being bullied. It says, I want to live in a world or part-time in a world that's not really, that's an escape from my world, a sort of fantasy world. Like, I think you would say that about anyone that was too steeped in anything, you know, too involved with internet porn or whatever it is, like, or how about gambling? You know what I mean? Just the people that are into this thing. It's not necessarily that the act of it is destructive. It's that you're attracted to it, I guess, is what I'm saying. So, Bernie, what I'm saying is a little less emulating Harley Quinn and a little more getting back to Bernie. Could we get back to Bernie or, like, find out who Bernie is?
All I know about Bernie is Bernie's a giant nerd.
All right, so then be a fucking nerd. Nerds have taken over the planet.
Yeah. You want to be a multi-billionaire? Be a nerd.
The five richest people in the United States are all nerds. I mean, literally. Just embrace your nerddom then.
Okay.
But hang on to those sewing skills. I could see Bernie doing, you know, major, you know, like for movies and stuff. Like, don't let go of that skill. It seems to be something you're good at and that you like to do.
I like that part of it, but make the goofy outfits and give them to underprivileged inner city kids so they can do the cosplay. Last but not least, yeah, go ahead, Gina.
For you, Adam, because I'm curious about this, because, you know, a lot of stuff that we talk about in the show, I take into my personal life and I recount to other people. And so, you know, I want to make sure I'm understanding. So when we're talking about medicine masking, if, say, Bernie felt like she was the most who she is when she has like half pink hair, let's just use that as an example. And we say, well, that's kind of not normal. That's whatever. Diet, you know, chestnut brown and fit in. Wouldn't that be another way of masking who she feels she is?
I feel like Bernie is a shy person who wants attention with these sort of external
accoutrements.
And I feel, I don't, look, you know, there's nothing wrong with being proud of your cool watch or your cool car or your cool home or whatever you think is whatever you've done. But I do feel like Bernie isn't Bernie or doesn't know Bernie. I feel like she's trying to be somebody else because she doesn't feel comfortable being Bernie. And
she's grafting on other things that she likes to piecemeal a person together, a personality.
Yeah, she's kind of doing that. That's what it feels like to me. And it, well, whatever it is, it doesn't feel like it's working because 3 years ago she was having problems and I still feel like she's having problems. So
try to hang herself, for God's sake.
Yeah, I would say that's an indicator of a possible problem. So I'm kind of in a weird way saying what you're saying, maybe in a reverse way, which is try to get comfortable in your own skin. You know, I mean, ultimately, if you're not comfortable in your own skin, and I know there's people that just dye their hair pink and go, this is who I am. But do you have to go down to the store and get pink dye and put it in your hair so that you can discover who you are?
I mean, we're not all Betsy Johnson. Not everyone could pull that off.
I feel like that's you letting other people think you're something. That's all. And it'll be a better life. Also, I sort of have... Look, I yelled at my son for getting too much into Pokemon. Like, I'm like, look, let's go down the road 10 years. Are you still going to be into this, or are you going to be embarrassed to see those old pictures of you? And if that's the answer, then maybe nip in the bud. Bill, last call, 65 Indianapolis.
Hey, Adam. Thanks. I had a chance to meet you when I watched the Willie T. Ribbs doc here a couple years ago when you were in town.
Oh, good. Thanks.
Really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I'm a business coach, and thank you for doing this episode. I think a lot of people are really interested in this because of the struggle that this year has been. And I actually did a podcast on my own the other day on just being adrift. You know, how sometimes we just wake up and we're kind of adrift in life, like your previous caller maybe. And every business problem that people come to me with seems to have some underlying theme of either a lack of self-respect, a lack of self-acceptance, like you just said to her, a lack of self-love. And I know that sounds really squishy, but deep down, that's all we struggle with. This psychology topic is awesome because we're afraid. I think we're afraid of digging down deep inside of us. And so as a business coach, I just hear that all the time. Goals can't be accomplished because I've never really looked at myself deep down.
Well, you know, I am, like I said, the older I get, Bill, I'm just becoming a big fan of act as if. You know, when people ask you how you're doing, don't say, okay, say I'm doing great. You know, when you see your kids in the morning or whomever in the morning, have some energy. That fake it till you make it thing, you don't have to fake it that long. It's pretty immediate. I mean, you start saying, substituting I'm doing fine, or I've been better, or I'm doing okay with I'm doing great. Say that five times a day and see if you don't feel like you're feeling great or doing great.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, it's all kind of in the, you know, grandma knew best, you know, get out, sweat, have a project, get engaged, get a community, get involved with stuff, have things for your mind. You know, the thing, the reason I always want everyone to go start a project, it could be Gina in the kitchen or it could be me in the garage, is it's engaging. Like, you don't really have time to pout or think about yourself or wonder about all the hungry kids in the world. You're just kind of, I got to get this and I got to make a list. Like, literally, the act of making a list makes you saner. Just having a, here's what I need, and I have this project, and here's what I'm missing, and I'm going to do it. And
your mind's not as all over the place, scattered.
And you start, like, you'll have these revelations. Like, you'll wake up in the morning, yep, and you'll go, oh, fuck, we're going to do, oh, no, I'm doing it this way. I'm not, yep, going to do it that way. I got a better way of doing it. And if you can get a community of people that are like-minded, then they start talking and you start talking, and the next thing you know, you're on to better ideas or better techniques or better ways to do it. It's just a sharing. So act as if, everybody. All right, let's see. I got Simply Safe here. Who knew that would take a turn, man? Simply Safe. Break-ins on the rise during the holidays. So Simply Safe's having a huge holiday sale. 50% off any system and free security camera as well. Whether you're traveling or staying put for the holidays, check out the 50% off plus free security camera deal. It's going to end this week, so let's get going. We use Simply Safe here. We've always used Simply Safe. Peel and stick. Batteries last up to 10 years. No drilling. No crawling around. Nobody in your house. You do it yourself. U.S. News and World Report called it best home security of 2020. It's an arsenal of sensors and cameras. Set up yourself. Takes about 30 minutes. And their specialists monitor you around the clock. They'll send emergency, send help if there's an emergency. That is Simply Safe, right, Dawson?
Get up to 50% off Simply Safe plus a free security camera today by visiting simplysafe.com/Adam. Go today. This week, this deal is this week only. That's simplysafe.com/Adam. Simplysafe.com/Adam.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll get into our game right after this.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace Man, I'm here to tell you that real men still exist. I smoke while I lift 1,000-pound sheets of steel with suction cups. And I like anchovies and onions on my pizza. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
I want to make out with this dude.
Right after the anchovy.
All right, we're going to play the Sling It Forward game. By the way, to show you all the great viewing options you have on Sling TV, we're going to play Sling It Forward. And Dawson, give us some of the movie descriptions, and then we'll compete and guess the movies and or TV shows. Or are we just on movies?
Movies.
That's always movies, right? All right.
It's time to play Sling It Forward, the game that's suspiciously familiar. Brought to you by Sling TV.
Oh, we found a sponsor. Here we go.
A magazine writer makes promiscuity her credo.
Pete. Gina.
Pete.
Sex in the City?
Huh. Gina?
Oh.
Right out of the gate, we got to go to the judges. Sex in the City.
I think
it's not.
Yeah, but
after her fall, Pete came
in
first.
No, wait,
Pete came
first. Procedural question. They both rang in, so I can just wait for the whole description, right?
I guess, yeah.
Yes, you can.
Let the baby have his bottle.
After her father convinces her that monogamy isn't realistic.
Oh,
while writing a profile about a charming and successful sports doctor.
Damn it.
She finds herself actually falling in love.
Oh, yeah.
For the first time.
This is a train wreck.
Oh, yeah.
Got to buzz in with your name, Brian.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was
Three Losers.
From 2015.
Brian, train wreck.
It is train wreck.
Oh, I'm so pissed.
An AWOL U.S. soldier travels to Hong Kong to compete.
Brian. Kickboxer.
In a secret, ultra-violent martial arts competition.
Oh, I got all the time in the world.
as he works to gain access to the underground fight scene.
Yeah.
He must outmaneuver the military officers trying to track him down.
I never saw this movie, but Pete, Bloodsport.
From 1988, yes. It is Bloodsport.
Everyone says that's a good movie, but
that's
is it?
That's not what I meant. It's wonderfully cheesy.
All right.
This is with the giant Asian guy at the end, right?
Right. Yeah.
A telesales operative becomes disillusioned with his existence and begins to hunger for fresh excitement in his life.
As Pete.
I heard Brian.
This is Joe versus the Volcano?
As he experiences a new awakening.
Pete.
Gina.
One of seven Jim Carrey possible movies.
Of the senses, his wife and daughter also undergo changes that seriously affect their family.
Gina. Pardon the interruption?
No. From 1999, that is the description of American Beauty.
Oh,
it
really?
Is? Okay.
No, I'm lying to you. An FBI agent must go undercover.
Pete.
Pete.
Let's see.
Brian.
Oh, shit.
Then. Oh, Gina.
All right. I'm going to say, what the fuck was that Keanu Reeves movie? I can't even think of the name of it. All right. I'm out. Go ahead, Brian.
Adam, I should split this one. Point Break?
Duh.
To investigate the location of a lethal biological weapon planted by his arch rival. After undergoing After undergoing a radical surgical procedure,
circumcised, Gina, if that's hell. I don't want to give you any more than that.
I hate all these movies. It's Face Off.
From 1997. It is Face Off.
Weren't you home last Saturday? And if so, why weren't you watching Face Off? Because
I know,
it was on.
I have no excuse.
You had a lot to correct.
His overprotective mother has always relegated him to the sidelines.
Gina.
Brian.
Gina.
Shit.
Waterboy?
Yeah. From 1998.
Wow.
It is the Waterboy.
Good call. Gina's good at this
game. I was just watching some clips from Waterboy.
Three ambitious, strong women. Known for their presence on one of America's most powerful news networks.
Gina.
Ryan. Gina.
Oh, what the fuck is the Fox movie called? Oh, hell.
Brian.
The spooky Megyn Kelly. It was called,
Ryan. You. I can't think of the name either.
Pretty Little Big Liars.
Gina and I should split this one. It's Bombshell.
Bombshell.
There will be no split. From 2019, it is Bombshell. After getting transferred for evaluation from a prison farm to a mental institution, he assumes it will be a less restrictive environment.
Brian. I'm going on a limb here. This is the other Jack Nicholson movie, Once Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
From 1975.
Wow.
Yes.
Good deep dig there.
One of three movies to sweep the Oscars.
What's the score, Max Zapata?
Brian has three, Gina has two, Pete has one.
He's tracking down the man who raped and murdered his wife. The difficulty, however, of locating his wife's killer.
Gina. Fugitive.
Is compounded by the fact that he suffers from
This is the fantastic Christopher Nolan movie, Memento.
From 2000, it is Memento.
Wow, I never saw this.
You'd love Memento. You should watch it with Sonny. That's a sweet movie.
It's
Brian's
stressful.
1 point away. A fairy tale adventure.
Brian. Princess Bride.
For the win. Whoa! From 1987, The Princess Bride.
Can't beat that.
Pretty good.
You cannot beat that.
You're the worst.
Sling It Forward. Brought to you by Sling TV.
Make the smart choice and switch to a Sling TV. Get the best cable for the best price. It's easy to switch and save. Learn more at sling.com/Adam. That is sling.com/Adam. All right.
Adam, Memento is really good. Sonny would dig it, too. You guys should watch it.
Sorry.
What?
Johnny Weir was eliminated this week.
Oh. Yeah.
God damn it.
I found out the night of, but I didn't want to text you it because I figured you would find out on your own. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but you haven't talked about it yet.
I wasn't checking. How many are left?
There's only one round left, so I think there's only two couples left. It was a double elimination, and Johnny had the lowest score and lowest fan votes. So,
he had the lowest score and the lowest fan votes. Well, that's true. He's probably not a fan favorite, but
yeah, he wasn't a fan favorite. So I guess that's a lot of points.
I'm about to have a double elimination.
Brutal.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Oh.
Nelly went on, I think, though.
Nelly went on?
Yeah.
Nelly.
And I think there's actually three couples. I know Nelly advanced, and then Caitlin Bristow, and there was one
Neve.
More.
Nelly.
Was, if it's AJ,
the guy from Catfish, I think, went on.
Neve.
Oh, yeah, Neve. Yeah. Yeah, Neve is surprisingly good, and Caitlin is good. Oh, man. I've
brutal.
Hit rock bottom, people. Stephen Dorff is going to be on in a second. So let's see. What do we got here?
Good movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about his new movie as well. And then we'll spend the rest of the time talking about Judgment Night, because he was in Judgment Night. And that was the first time I was on a movie set as a stand-in for one of the bad guys. But that was a big deal. That's back when any job that had craft service, a snack table, and or free lunch, you know, hot lunch and dinner, that was just was de facto a good job. That didn't really matter what the job was. It was like you get a hot meal. That was a big goddamn deal. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Stephen Dorff right after this.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.